And it is Kia ora and welcome, Chris Schultz.
Kia ora, Catherine. How are you?
Really good, thanks. Foundation is your first pick for us today. Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, this is the big one. This is Apple TV Plus's big play, really, on the mainstream. I don't know if you remember when Apple TV launched a couple of years back. It was a bit of a joke. It was a freebie that you got with a new phone, and it had a few bits and pieces of shows on it, but nothing really major. That's changing now. They just won 11 Emmys on Monday, 7 for Ted Lasso, the heartfelt comedy that we all kind of binged to feel better during lockdown. They've also just launched a bunch of trailers for shows coming before the end of the year. They've got Tom Hanks doing his Castaway thing in a futuristic robot apocalyptic show called Finch. They've got an alien invasion show coming. And then they've got Jon Stewart in his big talk show comeback. So they have kind of just in the last few weeks relaunched. This is Apple TV 2.0, and it's all hinging on Foundation. Now, Foundation is... I want to say it's their answer to Game of Thrones. This is a big show. You can see how much money has been spent on it. This is a sci-fi series based on the 1950s Isaac Asimov book, which really has become a foundational text for many sci-fi shows. Star Wars, Dune have all borrowed heavily from it. The book was always considered to be unfilmable because it spans 1,000 years. It's a huge book. They're talking about 8 seasons needing to cover it, and this is the first season. Is it any good? I've seen the first 3 episodes, and I'm a sci-fi geek from way back. I love Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars. I'm all in on this. It's just huge. You know, the first episode's got this incredible scene, this giant skyscraper, this lift that takes people from outer space down to the surface of this planet that explodes, and it's just crazy, the scale of the show. It's massive. I don't know any other way to describe it. So they've really borrowed from the Game of Thrones playbook. There are main characters dying in the first couple of episodes. There are a lot of kids. Some of them seem like they might be a little bit evil, just like Joffrey. It has all of the hallmarks of a show that could replace Game of Thrones. Whether or not it does, obviously, we'll have to wait and see. But so far, I'm all in on it.
Excellent. All right. Now to Lula Rich, which took me by surprise. This is of a company called LuLaRoe, a women's clothing company. What happened, and then what's the story that's told on this Amazon Prime Video series?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of them either. The only reason I watched the trailer for the show was because I'd seen Fyre Fest, which was that amazing documentary on the Fyre Festival, the music festival that just turned into an absolute disaster.
Just went to crap, didn't it? It was everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Anyway, carry on.
This is kind of the same thing. This is a women's clothing company started in the early 2010s, I believe. And it was started by two people, Deanne and Mark Stidham. They just started selling dresses and leggings, and it kind of spiraled into this whole massive company. It got so big so fast, but they kind of used this weird... I don't want to say pyramid scheme, but it was definitely a multi-level marketing scheme to bring in more people. So you weren't just making money off selling the clothes, you were also making money off the people underneath you who were selling the clothes. That's how it's set up. And this documentary does a great job of interviewing people who were not only in the company and who watched it all turn to rubbish, but also just talking to experts about how these multi-level marketing schemes work and how wrong they are. The other thing I love, actually, is that the couple who started it, Deanne and Mark, they sit down for an interview, which is not often the case with these documentaries. They're often done with the creators of the company either, you know, in jail, or they've done it, you know, if it's a cult documentary, often the founders are long gone and it's all done historically, but these guys, it opens with them sitting down for an interview and watching their body language change over the course of this four-part series is probably the great joy of this documentary. You can see the questions getting trickier, and you can see the arms get crossed, the legs get crossed. You can see them looking at each other. And there's this great scene at the end where they just put up the words that say they refuse to sit down for a second interview, which tells you a lot. It's a remarkable series. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, if you like Firefest, if you like any of those kind of culty documentaries, this feels like a lot like Heaven's Gate or the Nexium documentary from a few months ago.
That was out there, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels a lot like those.
Okay. Lula Rich is on Amazon Prime Video. And finally, The Beths. This is on YouTube.
Yeah, everyone's favourite New Zealand rock band have made a movie. This is quite timely. None of us can go to concerts at the moment. Or if you're in level two in the rest of the country, I think the maximum allowed is about 50 people, which doesn't make for much of a show. This is the Beths concert from the Auckland Town Hall in November last year. It had already been delayed because of one lockdown, and it came at the end of a nationwide tour that was a really celebratory tour. It just felt like they were touring the country and everyone was going because it was their first chance to see like a big show after a year of lockdowns and closed borders with no festivals or international shows. They filmed the whole thing, and it's just a remarkable show. They've said this is the best show of the tour. The songs are intercut with wonderful little snippets of tour life, you know, eating chips at a petrol station and having beers with the opening acts and that kind of thing. So, look, if you want to recreate that kind of concert experience on a Friday night with a few cold beers from the fridge and the lights off and the stereo up, you cannot do better than this. It's fantastic. But it also just, I think we'll look back on it as a bit of a marker in time. You know, a lot of the people at the crowds, they're wearing masks. And so when we watch this, once we're over COVID, fingers crossed that happens sometime soon, please. This we'll look back on this. And this is just like this really quite beautiful moment, marker of time, of this thing we kind of went through in this crazy experience.
And also what our creatives have done in incredibly challenging circumstances as their incomes are devastated to keep us entertained and, you know, whether they've been doing it online or whatever, or in this case actually just producing an actual concert and a story around life on the road for the bits of this time that we've been able to have, you know, life on the road.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a remarkable story. You know, they were scared about selling out the power station after that first lockdown. You know, they announced a show, didn't know if they could just do the power station, which only fits 1,000 people. And then, you know, a few months later, here they are headlining the Auckland Town Hall, which is more than double that. It just shows you how quickly a lot of local acts ascended because no international artists were coming. You know, Benny was headlining festivals as well. The same thing happened to her.
Up and down and up and down it's been. Thanks so much, Chris Schultz. The Beths, Auckland, November 2020, is on YouTube.